Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world. They've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the listen link in the upper right-hand corner. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on listen and then listen live or listen online. And that will bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook and all kinds of great stories, videos, pictures of animals and so forth. And please enjoy them all. And we are just getting rolling in our second education edition. And Nathan is here in the studio. Stacy's off today because we're not doing phone calls. And my guest joining us from the frigid, what is it, Northwestern Pennsylvania?
Northeastern
Pennsylvania, where it's around the 0 degree mark. So has made me realize I have nothing to complain about. It's only 30 here. Walter Stoffel is the author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, which is the book that started this whole concept for me of starting these teaching shows and sharing with you everything I can about dogs and their behavior and understanding dogs and solving problems. And we aired the first show, our educational show. The first show was on Halloween of last year. And we've rerun it a couple of times so you could remember what we started with. And today, well, I'm going to pick up now where we left off. And my idea here is I'm kind of structured this as I would do an in-home session. And when I meet with people privately in their homes, the session usually takes 4 to 5 hours. So during that process, I'm going through an interview process with the client. I'm going through then the general education and several sections there where I give them the general education about dogs and understanding dogs and what works and doesn't work for dogs and that basic stuff. I customize that to, you know, the particular dogs that I'm working with on that day. In this environment, though, on the show, I'm kind of trying to cover all the bases and throw in what I can about all situations. Now, and so we had gotten into that part of the general dog information is kind of where we left it. So I'm going to finish up the general dog information that we shared, and then go into the next general area that I cover during a session is food and food affecting behavior and how to feed and options and that. And so that's probably going to be the bulk of what we do today. After we get through the food stuff, that leads us into medical and physical stuff and all of the stuff we add along with that. And then we continue through the general education until we get all the specific issues. And of course, last show, we talked a lot, Walter, about a little bit about your dog, Heidi, and that you've got problems going on. We know that our Nathan has a border collie, Abby. So, you know, we'll be incorporating your personal dogs, you know, into this work when we get to specific issues, although it's going to take us a while to get to that point. But, you know, we know I've got a bunch of people following you, Walter, that have dogs and different kinds of behavior. And we made big lists of the different kinds of things that we'll be addressing when we get to specifics. If you missed the show, then what you're going to have to do is go back to the audio archives on marthanorwalk.com and go back to Halloween of 2021, October 31st, and listen to that show, and then you will be all caught up. Let's see, I'm looking at the clock, so we have time, and I can started here. So I did my homework, Walter, in that I listened to the first show that we did before today so that I would remember where we were. And of course, you know, one of the caveats here that's important to know is that I'm not working off of a script. What I do just comes through me, and I've been doing this for so long. You know, there's a lot of information that comes through, and so every session I do is slightly different because it's customized for the people that I do, but it also depends on, you know, what comes through at the time. So I have a basic, you know, format of what I do. And just to review briefly before I start continuing with the general dog information. I mean, one thing we covered that I have to say is so important because, you know, dogs, in one respect, are not that much different than we are. You know, I believe they have soul vibrations just like we do. They think and reason, they have feelings and emotions. They have personalities and personality quirks and glitches and are every bit as individual as we can be. So in one respect, they aren't that much different than we are. But in the bigger, truer picture, the huge difference is they come in dog suits. They're in dog bodies, and as opposed to cat bodies or horse bodies or human bodies. And there's different genetic DNA coding that comes along with the physical body. And that's what you have to understand to be successful in raising dogs and living with them. And especially if you're going to start solving problems. So those are the things we were starting, you know, covering and talking about last time. And of course, the big thing most people understand, dogs are pack animals. They live in a pack. They're territorial. They stay on their territory. So in the bigger picture, dogs are not intended to be as social as we humans are. So it's real normal for dogs to get along with their family. But, you know, to growl or bark or bite anybody else that comes around. And just because they do that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them. That's kind of just the normal, you know, order for dogs. And so we have to teach them that we're more social and work with that. Now, I can tell you that when I started learning about dogs, because I started training dogs and I started this career of mine in grade school. And so I've been doing all of my life. I'm in my 70s now. So it's been decades that I've been doing this. And I'm partly responsible for pushing the world of dog training, because, you know, I started in the old school, which was pretty much force, and there was some abuse and lack of understanding and so forth, for pushing the world of dog training into the more positive world of dog training. But from where I sit now, I believe that the world of dog training has gone too far over the and gone off the edge on the other side in the positive world. And there is kind of a push these days from some of the all positive trainers out there to try to squelch this pack theory of dogs and say that it really, you know, we don't have to do things that way. And I just have to tell you, in all of my life, I think this is one of the most important thing about dogs. And I don't think just because you don't like it doesn't mean it isn't true. So the best relationships with dogs are when the human is the leader and the dog is the follower. Dogs relax in the presence of powerful leadership, and the ideal relationship between human and dog, like it or not, it's just reality, is a benevolent dictatorship. So it's the one time in our world you can get away with being a dictator, because it's what works for dogs. So, you know, one of my favorite sayings is dogs have masters, cats have staff. You know, so you have to know how that physical body is coded, and you can't deal with cats the same. You cannot deal with cats the same way you deal with dogs. But the ideal situation is that kind of benevolent dictatorship. Yes, of course, you want to be fair and kind and all of that stuff. But you have to show your power and then balance that with the loving and spoiling. And that's what gives you a good balanced relationship. So the leadership is utmost, and unfortunately, when, you know, I talked to some of the positive, all positive folks in training and stuff, they tell me, well, we just don't want there to be anything negative in a dog's life. You know, everything should be wonderful. We don't want you to tell them they're wrong or anything's bad. And I mean, well, it sounds good, but, you know, even in human world, life is not fair or kind necessarily, and you need to be prepared to deal with all of it. And it definitely is important with dogs to recognize that the vast majority of dogs that I work with and I see are really spoiled and have no idea that their parents, you know, that their humans are in charge. And consequently, in many cases, they're full of anxiety. And, you know, I think I mentioned the last time that I often call these dogs vibrators, because they shake all the time and they're nervous and about everything. Well, it's wonderful to see the transformations that happen when I get educate people, because dogs relax in the presence of powerful leadership. So if you have a dog that's out of control and lots of problems, the first order of business is you've got to revamp your relationship and get yourselves in the leadership department, the dog in the following department, looking to you for direction, because then they don't have to be in charge of everything. Because when dogs don't get the leadership they need from their humans, then they attempt to be the leaders themselves. And because dogs work on a pecking order system, a leader of the pack and a pecking order in the pack. And by the way, you know, Walter and Nathan, in the dog world, the pecking order can change depending on what the pack is doing at the time. So you might have one pecking order when we're at the home environment, the den area. You might have a different leader and a pecking, different pecking order when the pack's out on a hunting expedition or doing something else. So that could be a little, some gray areas in the pecking order issues within your home. But the big push is to ultimately have the human being the ultimate leaders, and dogs being the followers, so they can then relax. Now, to give you kind of an idea, if you've got, you know, an older dog, so I'm trying to give you puppy stuff as well as older dog stuff. And I know, Walter, how old is your Heidi, your Chiweenie?
Heidi is going to be 2 in March.
Okay. So she's still, I mean, she's, you know, teenager going into adulthood. I mean, for most dogs, they mature when they're 3 to 5 years old. Small breeds of dogs tend to mature faster than large breeds of dogs. But at any rate, one way you can tell is your dog lacking leadership? Dogs that don't get the kind of leadership they need from their people, the control, the direction, the rules, the boundaries, they can become what I call busy bees. And I call it, it's kind of another peanut thing, is the busy bee syndrome. And the busy bees are, they, because see, when dogs don't get the leadership from their humans in our world, then they feel like they have to be the leader. And to be the leader, you got to control everything. Okay. So the busy bees are like, they can't really settle a lot. So they got to see what's going on here and what's going on here and what's there. They pace a lot. They're running and they're all over. And so it's always, they're on alert and guard, and they're busy into everything. They got to be involved in everything going on and check out everything here and there. And they're just busy bees. Okay. Well, once you change your relationship and you take over and start giving them the leadership that they need, they can, like, oh wow, I didn't know I lived with such powerful humans. They're really powerful, and I don't have to worry about anything. I just hang with my people and I do what they tell me to do, and I'm safe. So I can relax. So if you have a busy bee, you know, your first order of business is you got to start establishing some relationships. All right, Nathan is raising his hands, and I think it might have more to do than the fact that it's time to take care of advertisers. So are you chiming in for another reason here, Nathan?
Well, me having a border collie, I'm raising my hand with a question. It's like, yeah, what if your dog is bred for that purpose, you know, to order, you know, other animals around and be the one in charge? What if it comes in their nature?
Good question. But so yes, a herding dog, especially like a border collie, they get great power in their jobs, you know, and get to control a whole herd of sheep or cows or whatever you're working with. But how do you think that, you know, who directs them? How do they know what to do and all of that? Well, a lot of it's instinctual. But the bottom line, Nathan, is good herding sheepdogs have shepherds. Okay. They have a boss, an ultimate boss that they look to for direction. And it's not them. Well, once they're trained, a lot of herding dogs are so spectacular. It's amazing what they're capable of doing. And if you have a chance to watch some of the herding competition shows, you know, the border collie, and you'll be blown away at what these dogs are capable of doing. But they don't run their own life. They have a shepherd that they bow to and that directs them. And there's an incredible relationship going on. So that's the difference. And I've caught myself, Nathan, I can't tell you how many times in the last 6 months working with people in their home with their herding dog. And what's coming out of my mouth is, all right, you are the shepherd. Your dog needs a shepherd. You've got to direct this dog. You know, what do you herd and when, and what are you doing and all of that? So the bottom line is that, yes, they have a lot of power in their own world of herding, but they answer to a higher power, and that's their shepherd. Does that help answer that question?
Yeah, I really like that analogy, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, however, now, and I can't, did we, they, you know, dogs come, you know, they are very individual, and you can have, well, of all the dogs that cause the most trouble are the Einsteins and the Dumbos. Okay. The easy dogs are the middle of the roaders, not real smart, not real dumb, get along with everybody. Now I find as we are all, evolving and growing, I think that our animal friends are also evolving and I see changes in our animals. And it used to be, you know, some of the most popular breeds of dogs would be your Labradors and your Golden Retrievers. And it used to be that they were really, truly middle of the roaders in terms of intelligence, which is kind of what lend them to be such great companions for people, aside from the fact that as sporting breeds, they were bred to work with man as opposed to independently. And that makes a difference in terms of how they congeal in a pack, you know, a human animal pack. As life goes by, I'm noticing a great range of intelligence now in breeds like Goldens and Labs and some real Einsteins and some Dumbos and a lot. Anyway, I find that the intelligence range in dogs is really shifting a lot. At any rate, what you need to know about Einsteins versus Dumbos, I would much rather work with the Einsteins, okay, because they have all the potential. Okay. And the Einsteins of the dog world, Nathan, are the herding breeds. And they have the best left brains, they have the best right brains, they have the best intuition, and they have the best intelligence. And consequently, they can be challenging for humans to live with. But the potential of what they can learn and what they can be is really phenomenal. Now, the reason I love working with Einsteins is because they're fun to work with because they learn real fast. So if you got an Einstein, generally 1 to 3 repetitions, they get it and they're on board. Okay. But your patience is needed then in the follow-up. Okay. Because when you are teaching behavior or you're teaching anything to a dog, it must be generalized. So what would happen, you know, when I did 20 years of teaching obedience classes, you know, people come to school and say, well, you know, the dog does all this stuff at home in the living room really, really good. But when I go out in public, it doesn't do any of it. Okay. So what I would have to explain to people is you have to generalize the behavior. At home, when you're practicing with your dog, you teach them to sit down, stay, whatever, you teach it in the living room. When they've got it in the living room, you go to the family room and do it. Then you go to the kitchen and do it. Then you go to the basement and do it. And then you're upstairs. Then you're in the backyard, in the front yard. You go to the dog class. You go to the dog park. You go out and around and you practice the stuff in different areas. And that's what generalizes the behavior. Let's say, for example, you just because Walter, you have your little Heidi, Nathan, you have your Abby border collie, and your dogs are house trained in your house. Well, you can't just take your dog to somebody else's house. Let's go to grandma's house or a friend's house and assume they're going to be house trained there. They're house trained in your house, not necessarily your friend's house. So when you take your dog for the first time to somebody else's house, not a good idea to just let them go and run all over the house, because they're more than likely going to mark territory and pee or something in the house. So you have to generalize the behavior and remind them that the rules are the same in a new home as it is in their own home. So you get that generalized behavior. And you're right, Nathan, I'm realizing, and you're going to have to rein me in and keep me on track here time-wise, or I'll space us right through ads, which I've done. Let me finish up this concept, and then we'll take care of advertisers. With smart dogs, they learn real fast, 1 to 3 repetitions, but then you have to generalize the behavior because they'll push and test, and your patience is needed in the follow-up. So a smart dog comes to you and tries to jump up on in the front of your body, and you tell them, no, they have to stay off. So they say, okay, I can't jump on the front of you. Maybe I can jump on you from the side. Okay, that doesn't work. Maybe I can jump on you from the other side. No, okay, maybe I can jump on you from the back. Okay, I can't jump on Martha. Maybe I can jump on Nathan. I'll try that. No, can't jump on Nathan. Maybe I can jump on Walter. Okay, so a smart dog's going to push and test the rules and the boundaries, and your patience is needed in following through to generalize the whole behavior. Does that make sense to you guys? All right. Now, the Dumbos, your patience is needed in the teaching phase because they take forever to learn something. Not the 1 to 3 repetitions. So with a Dumbo, you're working with them all day and you're working on a behavior and they learn it, and get to the end of the day, the light bulb's starting to go on. You all go to bed, you get up the next morning, the light bulb's completely off and you're starting all over again. And you work through the day and they're getting it. As you get to night, you go to bed, you wake up, they've totally lost it. You're starting all over. So your patience is needed in teaching. Once they get it long-term and you're good, but it takes a while to get there. So that's the difference between the Einsteins and the Dumbos. We've got to take care of advertisers right now to kind of start to stay on schedule, and then we'll come back and I'll continue with finishing up the rest of the general dog behavior, give you an idea of what's necessary, and basically in bringing in new dogs with puppies, so that I'll understand, and then we'll cruise on to our next general area. So stay right where you are, everybody. Walter Stoffel is here, Nathan's here, we're talking dog education, behavior, and all that good stuff. And Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once.
I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Accutonics for Dogs and Cats and Accutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Stacy, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, great classes on all kinds of subjects, and especially all the Ananda Hatha Yoga is phenomenal with Dr. Morley, our doctor of yoga. Everything now at Ananda, all the classes are most done in person, but also online, Zooming or streaming, so you can take advantage of everything in a safe way that works for you. So check them out, anandawa.com. If you need help with your animal friends, you're learning as we go through here. I am an animal behavior therapist and trainer. This is what I do, and I work with people privately and help them understand usually their dog friends and get them under control quickly and solve problems. And I always do a free telephone evaluation. So if you or anyone you know has got problems with your animals, you can call me. I'll talk to you for free on the phone. You can shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or just call me at 360-217-7258. Not now, I'm on the radio, but after the show, 360-217-7258. And we're holding the space for Jude Ponton, our premier sound healer and energy, harmonic energy shifter. She is working a couple of days a week now and also available for remote treatments. And if you come in to Whispering Dragon to see her, you'll get to meet the new Angie Shanti, the new Black Standard Poodle. Jude is, it's got to be over the moon that she's got a wonderful dog companion. Again, she just has been, it just cheers me up to think about it. She's been so lonely, but I just feel so blessed that she has a new dog. So anyway, think and thoughts for that. Okie dokie. We are talking general dog stuff. And I just told Nathan we were going to do it a different way, but he had a little question or comment over the break. And I said, well, we'll wait until we get to that. But I'm kind of thinking, let's just, when little things crop up, if I can answer them quickly like this one, we'll go ahead and do it. So Nathan, you brought up the fact that you're Abby, we know, Border Collie, so an Einstein, and that your trainer had been working with you. You've been teaching some tricks and spin, and just tell me briefly what you said.
Yeah, the comment kind of came up because you're talking about the left brain and the right brain and stuff like that. But basically, we've been teaching Abby, or one of her tricks was that she got really well with spin. Mm-hmm. And she loves to spin, but every time she does the trick spin, she spins around towards her right direction. Mm-hmm. And then the person we were working with, our family friend, noticed that and said, well, it's really important that your dog should know the other side of her body too, in case like she has to like do spins or maybe needs to spin in the other direction. She knows how to do that. And so we came up with twirl, where instead of spinning to the right direction, she would now spin to the left direction, or twirl to the left direction. So it's the same trick, but on the opposite side of the body.
Yeah, so I just thought, well, I'll just comment about to tell you what I told Nathan off the air, which, you know, see, to me, that's really normal. And we will, when we get to specific stuff on down the line, we will talk about tricks and teaching some tricks and how to do that. If you're teaching a dog to spin, you teach him to spin one direction and then you teach him to spin the other direction. And that's just, you know, if you just turned one way your whole life, you know, you could be out of balance that way. So turning each direction is important to teach. And I'm not going to explain to you how to teach it now. That will come later. But the point I wanted to make to let you know is that dogs can be kind of like right-handed and left-handed, right pod, left pod. I mean, that when you are teaching like tricks or obedience stuff, doing it one direction or one way will come naturally to the dog. The other way will not be natural. So like when Nathan was teaching Abby to spin, she apparently, her natural direction is to the right. Okay. And so that will be the easy direction to teach the spin. But then you got to teach her to go to the left. That is more challenging because it doesn't come naturally to her. And you find the same thing, lift one paw, like a shake one paw or the other, roll over one direction or roll over the other direction. You will find that every dog will have a natural direction. And so whatever the easy direction is, you teach on that, you teach that direction first. Then you teach the more challenging direction, and that's where most of your focus is. And that gives you the balance in teaching the exercise. But I find it helpful for people to know that there is that kind of tendency to be right and left pod. One direction will be easier for the dog than the other, and then that'll just help you understand it. So does that make sense? It does. All righty. And you are pointing to the clock again. So let's reel me in before I get started. And we'll take care of advertisers for the last time in this hour. And then we can just cruise the rest of the hour, finishing up, continuing with the general dog stuff and then getting into food. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Hi, this is Nathan coming to you from behind the board. And today we have a very special encore presentation of Martha Norwalk's Animal World. From all of us in the Animal World family, we wish you all a happy weekend, and we look forward to being with you again on next week's live show from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending part of your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And remember our wonderful NuPro supplements. That's N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. And Abby takes the NuPro supplement and loves it, and she eats much better now that she's getting the NuPro. And of course, we heard from Dr. Nels Rasmussen, Healing Ministry for Animals.com. Click on the contact link, tell him you want to talk to him. He'll do a free phone evaluation for you. And remember, he's got the do it yourself at home program for the Rasmussen Reset now. And I believe everyone that lives with animals should have the Rasmussen Reset at do it yourself at home program. So, Healing Ministry for Animals.com. And of course, if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, we'd love to have you join our Animal World family of advertisers. So if you would like to join the family, give me a call or send me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or pick up your phone, 360-217-7258, after the show. Thank you. Okay. Alrighty. My guest today, Walter Stoffel, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And you can find out more about Walter, more about Lance, the book, and how to get the book, and Walter's other books, and all the great projects that are coming out of all of this by going to Walter's website, which is walterstoffelauthor.com. And Stoffel, Walter, just like it sounds, Stoffel is S-T-O-F-F-E-L, Walter Stoffel, author.com. Did I get that right, Walter?
Absolutely.
All right. So Walter's kind of, and Nathan are kind of my sounding boards to make sure that I'm making sense to you, chiming in about their dogs, and gives me something to talk to and work with. And also, Walter has a huge following. All these people know about Lance and the book and all of that. And a lot of these people have similar problems and so forth. So over the course of the months to come, we're going to try to give you lots of great information so you can do a lot of this work and help your dogs and yourselves. Now, I am doing my best here to finish up the general dog stuff. And what I wanted to leave you with before we go to the other general areas is kind of give you an idea. If you just got a new puppy and you hired Aunt Martha, me, to come to your home, set you up with the basic principles to raising a puppy, and then the kind of the basic principles to bringing in a new dog, a rescue, or older dog, kind of like what Walter did. And then we'll be able to wrap this up and get to food. So basic principles to raising a puppy, when you're a puppy in. The basic principles: confinement, supervision, and scheduling. Now, of course, you know, don't take the rest of what I've talked to you for granted. I always say, you know, show your power first, balance that with the loving and spoiling. And remember, you've got to be a good, competent leader from the beginning. Good, competent leader dogs are calm, cool, collected, and confident. They never overreact, and they never lose their temper. Most people have a misconception about what an alpha dog is like and how they behave. You know, you walk down a line of kennels and the dogs are quiet, and then one of them hits the chain link and is barking and snarling and growling, and we think, oh, that's the alpha dog. No, that dog is the one that's really scared inside, because when dogs feel threatened, their attitude is, I've got to act as tough and as nasty as possible to convince who's ever threatening me I'm too tough to mess with. So that's why they put on the big display. So the dogs that put on the big display are not the confident models. Okay. The ones that are calm and quiet, good, competent leaders, remember, calm, cool, collected, and confident, never overreact, never lose their temper. They have full and complete confidence in themselves and their own power. So most of the stuff that goes on around, they watch everything that goes on in the pack, pay attention, but most of the time it isn't worth dealing with it. So it might be their right to go through the doorway first, but it's too much trouble to deal with the young ones that are, so they just let them go and then go through after. So remember that alpha dogs are calm. And so if you get frustrated with your puppy or your dog, you get upset, you yell and scream or lose it, you are showing them in a very classic example, what an incompetent leader you are. So leadership is first and foremost. Now, then you got confinement, supervision, and scheduling. I am a big fan of crates. Crate is the best way to confine. Some people have a think about crates as being negative, but remember, dogs are den animals. Denning up comes naturally to them. Yes, you need to do some basic crate training, and we'll get to all of that eventually, to make them feel comfortable with it. But it becomes their safe space their anchor, so to speak. And so crate training is very, very positive and very important for puppies. And so the confinement is the crate. There are lots of different styles, and that's not necessarily as important. But if you're going to be flying your dogs later on, you should start with an airlines approved, and those are going to be the solid, more fiberglass crates rather than the collapsible wire type crates that you can't fly them in wire. So you'd keep that in mind if you were going to be flying your dogs. In a crate, ideally, they need at least enough room to stand up, turn around, lay down. And part of the reasons for having the crate, aside from being able to confine the dog so you're not they're not getting into trouble and learning bad habits and behavior, is that dogs are naturally clean by nature, and most will not eliminate in the area that they have to stay in and sleep. So it's good to help them with house training. It helps them learn to hold it. Some dogs will keep bigger areas cleaner than others. So you might be able to get away with a really large crate with one puppy, and it would keep the whole crate clean. Another puppy might go pee and poop in the back of it and then sit in the front of it. So they need a smaller crate. But basic rules are enough room to stand up, turn around, lay down. All right, then you use the crate at night when you're sleeping, during the day when you're gone, when you're home and you choose not to supervise. Now, the best place for puppies to sleep is in the owner's bedroom, but not in the bed. Okay. Now, that's an important thing. A lot of people like their dogs and want their dogs to sleep in bed with them. And that's okay, but you get to that as they get older. You do not want to raise them sleeping in bed, because it's very much like a litter nest situation, puts you all on an equal basis and makes it much more difficult to establish leadership. Now, when I'm doing private counseling sessions these days, for many years, I would automatically kick dogs out of bed on general principles. I don't anymore, because I've found lots of ways to establish leadership. And if that's real important to people, then I try not to mess with it if I don't have to. The only time I usually for sure kick a dog out of bed, at least temporarily, would be in cases of owner-directed aggression. Okay, because most dogs are stranger-directed aggression. But there are some cases of owner-directed aggression, and then those dogs I would kick out of bed temporarily. Now, so the crate ideally should be in the bedroom, puppy in the crate. If you can't have the crate in the bedroom for whatever reason, then you keep the crate in the next most used room of the house, like the kitchen or breakfast room, family room type area. All right, so you confine at night when they're sleeping, during the day when you're gone, and when you're home, and choose not to supervise. Supervising means when the puppy is outside of its confined area that an adult human is appointed to have eyeballs on the puppy, and the dog is watched all the time. And then there's different forms of supervision. You can follow the dog around. You can confine them to the area you're in. You can umbilical cord, which is put a leash on them, keep them attached to you. You go where they go, where you go. But basically, you're watching them all the time. And that it's much better to teach dogs good behavior from the beginning and never allow them to learn bad behavior. If you don't allow them to learn stuff, and you get them through the grow up period, then they never figure it out later. But if you let them learn all kinds of bad stuff, it's a whole lot harder to change that behavior later. So you're better off to prevent and avoid from the beginning. So confinement, supervision, scheduling is scheduling food, water, and elimination. You're going to get them on a schedule and all of that. We'll get into more details later on, but those are the basics. And for house training, if you've got house training issues out there, if one of the problems is peeing overnight, then pull up water 2 to 3 hours before bedtime so they don't tank up, and that can make it easier for them to learn to hold. Now, basic principles raising puppies, confinement, supervision, scheduling. Now, here's the kicker. The biggest mistake that most people make raising dogs and puppies is allowing too much freedom too quickly. Okay. So the confinement, supervision, and scheduling, ideally with medium to large size dogs, goes on for at least the first year and a half of their life. 1.5 to 2 years. Then by that time, you got a model citizen going on. Yeah, they're still teenagers, and then you wean off first at night when you're sleeping, less close supervision when you're around. And then the last thing would be integrating them to be loose in the house without being crated when you're gone. Small dogs mature fast. Small breeds of dogs mature faster than large breeds. So smaller breeds of dogs can often earn their freedom sooner than large breeds. And sometimes by a year of age, small dogs are ready for freedom, as opposed to 1.5 to 2 years with your medium to large size dogs. Now, so that gives you an idea. Now, when you come, you get a rescue or bring in an older dog. Especially if you're getting an older dog from another person that they've lived with and they don't have any issues, they can pretty much transition really easily into the family. Others, when you're rescuing dogs, most of them are coming packing a lot of emotional baggage and have trauma in the history. And so basically, you want to give them a lot less freedom initially and gradually let them earn more freedom. Remember, they take security and good leadership and direction. So being a good leader and controlling them helps them adjust faster. And when you bring in a new puppy or rescue, a new rescue for sure, they can go through what I call a honeymoon period. And the honeymoon period can last anywhere from a few minutes to 6 weeks. So when you bring a rescue in, an older dog, you don't necessarily know if you're seeing the true personality it's new and different, and a lot of their impulses can be suppressed. And so they don't behave in the way they normally will. And then once they've lived with you long enough to become comfortable, which can be anywhere from that 2 to 6 week period, then you start seeing the normal behavior come. So you might have problems come out later rather than immediately when you get a new dog. And then when you've got an older dog with problems, the plan basically is you go back in the process of raising the puppy to where you stop the problems, and then you work forward from there. Does that make sense to both of you?
That's because the dog is learning your personality and your limits, right? It's still trying to figure you out during that honeymoon period.
Well, yeah, that too. And because it's new and different, that the impulses can be suppressed, until they feel really comfortable. If they don't trust things and all of that, they may not be acting normally. They might be very friendly, they might be calm around people and that sort of thing. But after they've lived with you for a couple of weeks, then they start barking and charging people and going after stuff, sort of thing. So you can see new and different behavior crop up anytime during that honeymoon period. But then the key is to, changing it is that you backtrack to where you need all problems are under control, with the confinement and supervision, and then you move forward from there. So I just want to make sure we all understand that concept. And then I think we're good to go to work, go to our next subject. So that clear for everybody?
I think Walter had something too. He was about to chime in.
Yeah, go ahead, Walter.
Mm-hmm. You must be a psychic, Nathan. I was just thinking about, you were talking about bringing in a dog, like a rescue or whatever. one of the many little interesting things about Lance was when the very first day we got him, my wife had said, well, you know what? He hasn't lived inside. He's not housebroken. Why don't we keep him outside for a little bit and gradually introduce him? So we actually had neighbors bring his doghouse and run from his owner's property up to our house. And we put him in the backyard and I hooked him up. As I'm walking into the house, he starts howling. He made it clear
he didn't want to be outside.
So we let him in, and I guess the best way to describe his behavior that afternoon was guarded. Mm-hmm. He just kind of stayed away from us. He had his back up against the wall for a while. And then it was overnight that the first time he bit my wife.
All right. So unfortunately, our back is against the wall, too. So we have to close out hour number two to get into hour number three. But you see, that's kind of part of what the honeymoon period's about. It's just everything was amplified with Lance. And he was very insecure in the house. So he couldn't, of course, behave mm-hmm. the way he normally would. So thank you for sharing that, Walter. Now, so I'm going to consider the general dog area wrapped up here until we come back to specifics later on. We're going to close up hour number two, fire up hour number three. And next hour, we're going to cover the food basis. So I'm going to give you the general spiel about food and feeding and reading labels, all your food education coming up. And so right now we're getting ready to get back on that love train and one more time, energize up and get the juices flowing and spread the light and love all over the planet. And dancing is required, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Get up on your feet and join the love train with me. I'm cruising through your house and picking you up. We're spreading love and light everywhere and getting our exercise for the day and the week. And here we go with our yogi energization prayer. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. Oh, eternal youth, body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train. And Animal World continues straight ahead. Right here, food is next on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.